Hi, I'm Hillary Walsh, a serial entrepreneur, award-winning immigration lawyer, law professor, TEDx speaker, and raving Phoenix Suns fan. Over the past decade, I've helped thousands of immigrants live free in the United States. I'm talking work permits, social security numbers, green cards, their citizenship, VAWA, T visa, U visa, and lots of successful appeals. Here's the thing. Immigration law is super complicated, and legal advice, well, it can be pretty expensive. So I created the Immigration Law Made Easy podcast to share my 10 plus years of experience with you for free. So if you're looking for tried and true, no BS, step-by-step strategies and tips on how to win your immigration case and live truly free in the United States, you're in the right place, my friend. Let's get started. All right, my friends, welcome to your N-400 naturalization interview prep course. So in today's class that we're going to do, we're going to go through a few things. Number one, when, where, why, how, all of that good stuff, what you need to wear. And then we're actually going to do a pretend mock interview. And then at the end of this, we will talk through after your interview, kind of what happens next. Either you get approved on the spot, you get denied on the spot, or maybe their supervisor needs to look at it. So we'll kind of talk through all of those scenarios in today's podcast. So let's jump right in. First things first, the way that this party gets started is obviously you file for your N-400 and then you wait a while. The next step usually is to get your interview notice. So when you receive it, it's going to have the date, time, and location, the address, where your N-400 interview is going to take place. Usually it's about 6 to 8 weeks from the time you receive your interview notice. So obviously keep checking your mail. And if you haven't received it yet, that's no problem. But if you're watching this, my hope is, or listening to this, my hope is that you have in fact already received your notice. You know that the next step is to go to the interview and that you're listening and watching this so that you can get prepared for it. So definitely look at the date and the time of your interview. If you need to ask for time off from work, get that PTO request in, get it on your calendar, make sure that you have childcare and all of those things. Frankly, I would even have a childcare. I have 4 kids, and just because your kids are supposed to be in school doesn't mean that one of your kids won't get sick that day and need to stay home from school. So if it's your partner or if it is your spouse or maybe a parent, but someone needs to be your plan B for the day of your interview so that you're not scrambling if one of your kids happens to be home puking their guts out because you already feel bad leaving them, that you want to go ahead and get to this interview and get it taken care of and have a trusted friend or family member who can step in if for some reason something goes wrong, you've got your plan B, and then nothing will go wrong. Next up, you want to make sure you know the location address. If this wasn't the interview office, like the field office, the USCIS office that you went to get your green card, a lot of people will move and now you live in a different location. My suggestion is to do a drive-by of it so that you actually see how long it takes to get there. I'm just a planner. So even before I took my admissions test to get into law school, I went to the location a couple of weeks before the exam so I could figure out where I was going to park, where I needed to go in. And then I low-key kind of like snuck in the building. It was not locked. I did not like break and enter. But I went into the building and kind of figured out exactly what room the exam was going to happen in. And I looked in and figured out what chair am I going to sit in to take this test. So those are things that really helped me prevent myself from getting anxiety on the day of, because it's like I've already been here and now it's time for me just to go in and do the thing that I need to do. So if that's helpful for you to do, I really recommend doing that, because the worst thing I think that you can do is do all this prep work and work on your, you know, civics test and do your English reading and writing and all of that, and then get lost or not know where to park and just really stress yourself out. Because if they call you and you're not there because you haven't made it on time, then this is obviously a problem. Now, here's what you need to bring. You need to bring your receipt notice, like the interview notice saying that what you need to have. You need to bring your green card. Make sure that you bring your green card. And I would also bring your social security card and your driver's license. So just these different forms of ID that you already have. No worries. You need to bring those things with you to your interview. You have to have the receipt notice printed out. You can't use it on your phone. So make sure that you have it printed out because they're going to ask you for that when you arrive. And then, you know, if you can't for some reason attend, you need to let us, if we're your immigration lawyer at New Frontier, you need to let us know as soon as you know that you can't attend. Let's say that you're the one who's getting sick. I don't want to put that out there, but let's pretend that for some reason that's you. We can reschedule it. We just want to get it rescheduled as soon as possible so that they don't deny your case. And then we have to do all this fighting to get it reopened and all of that. So that's all squared away. Next, you're going to want to know what to wear. I recommend wearing something that's like business casual, basically something that's neat and respectful, but you don't have to like wear a suit. Some people want to wear like maybe you're someone who wears a suit every day to work. And so that's your comfort level. That's totally fine. But if you want to wear, if you're a man and you're someone who likes to wear jeans and a nice button-up shirt or a polo, that is totally fine. Wear jeans and a polo. Like, no one is going to be offended if you wear jeans and a polo instead of like a suit or something. But just be mindful that, you know, I would call it like your church clothes if you're someone that goes to church. And then similarly, for women, I would suggest something in that same vein. A blouse and jeans. And I like to wear flats because I'm comfortable in flats. But just know you're going to have to take your shoes off if you wear heels when you go through security. And it's just like at the airport, you got to walk on that gross floor and then your feet are going to be all dirty and you're going to stick them back in your shoes. So if you wear flats, you don't have to deal with that as much because you usually can wear like socks or whatever. But yeah, you got to take your shoes off. Okay. All of that to say, wear something that you're going to feel good in, something that you're going to be comfortable in. Don't wear something that's like really tight or restrictive, or if you are, I hope this isn't too much TMI, but like if you're someone who sweats, I can really relate with that. Don't wear something that's going to show your big old sweat stains because like it's hot in Phoenix. And then if you also add that like dynamic, you want to feel comfortable and confident. So wear a dark shirt if you're a sweater. Like it just is what it is. Okay. I wouldn't wear something if you're a woman who is, you know, you got a lot of cleavage. I wouldn't wear something that's got a lot of cleavage or whatever. Like you want to be modest and definitely don't wear anything that is politically charged. Even if it's, you know, you feel like this is pro-America, don't wear anything that's politically charged. Just, and don't wear anything that's like, I don't know, like I wouldn't wear like a basketball jersey or something like that. Just wear like you're going to a job interview is the easiest way to describe it. Okay, avoid shorts, flip-flops, graphic tees, anything with offensive slogans. Don't wear a bunch of cologne or perfume. You're going to be in a small office and you don't want to smell clean, dirty, or perfumed up. You don't want to smell. So I would skip those things because what you don't want to do is irritate the officer who's interviewing you. So these are ways that we can really minimize any kind of like flaring up of their sense of smell and that sort of thing. The goal is to look put together and not flashy. So just be you and your put together form. Okay. Now you're going to wonder about what to bring. And we've already talked about some of those things and you're going to want to have those things handy. One thing I forgot to mention earlier that you're going to want to bring in addition to your green card, you're going to want to bring your driver's license. You're going to want to bring your social security card. You'll also want to bring your passport. So if you have a current or expired passport, go ahead and bring that too. You're also going to want to bring a copy of your N-400, the document that you printed, like you're going to want to print it out that you originally submitted, because it's going to be handy for you when you're in the waiting room after you go through security. And security is very much like going through the airport. You get your bucket, like your little, it's like a tray, and you put all your junk in it, your cell phone, your keys, all of your shoes, everything. And it goes through a x-ray machine, and then you walk through an x-ray machine as well. And if you beep, they'll pat you down a little bit and wand you, but it's no big deal. Okay. So you're going to want to have that N-400 with you so that you can flip through it while you're waiting so that your interview goes even easier. It's like the last minute cramming a little bit. Okay. Next, you're also going to want to have your marriage certificate, the original marriage certificate, if you have it, and any divorce decrees in case you need those. So those are not mandatory, but ask your lawyer, ask us if we're your lawyer, whether you need those things. but usually we'll have submitted the required information with your N-400 to begin with. And so we just need to give you a copy of that. You print it out and everything you need should be right there in that packet. All right, next up is if you have any certified court records of any arrests, citations, even if they're dismissed, you're going to want to bring those originals if you have the originals. Now, our firm can't submit originals to USCIS, so you'll need to hand carry those with you along with your packet in case the officer asks to see the originals that have the seal or something else like a stamp on those, okay? All right, you'll also want to have, again, things like your tax returns and that sort of thing, which we will already have submitted. However, if it's in a new tax year, let's say that we submit your N-400 in January and then you file your taxes in March and your interview is in May, you'll want to bring your newest tax return that you just filed to show that you are current on your taxes. And that may not be something that we initially had because obviously we filed for you in this situation in January. All right. I like to study in the hallway, like, or in the waiting room. When I go with clients, sometimes they'll bring a friend or a family member and they're just quizzing them on the civics. And I think that is a really good thing to do because it passes the time quickly while you're waiting in the lobby, essentially. So if you haven't been to this USCIS office before, every single one of them are the same, where you go through security and then you have a seating area. And the seating area can sometimes have lots of people, and sometimes it will have no one else, and you've got the whole place. It feels like to yourself. But either way, I always recommend sitting once you figure out where the doors are that the USCIS officer is going to come out and say your name. You want to sit near that so that you can hear it, especially if there are other people in the waiting room with you. So I always sit right by the door so you don't have to listen carefully and wonder if they said your name or not. You're sitting right there and you're looking at them. So if they say your name, or for me, our client's name, we're ready to get up and walk right in. So that is my recommendation for where to sit. But also while you're sitting there, you might as well keep the mind busy because you might be a little bit nervous. Just like I am before I take any test, it's very, very normal. And going through some of the materials over and over, I promise it will be worth your time. Kind of hilariously, every single time we're prepping for a naturalization interview, one of the questions that we're prepping the client for in the lobby will be asked in the interview. And like, I have to smile to myself when they're asked that question because 5 or 10 minutes ago, we were just going over it and the client is ready to go. They're like, don't even want to wait for, is it A, B, C, or D? They want to just answer the question. Okay. So it's good stuff. All right. Next up, what happens in the interview? So again, you're going to check in. I want you to arrive about 15 to 20 minutes early. So if it says that your interview is at 10:15, don't arrive any later than 10 o'clock. You need to be there at least 15 minutes early. This gives you a chance not only to get checked in case there's a line, but if you need to use the restroom or get a drink of water or something like that, that gives you that opportunity to do that. Don't rush yourself. This is something that you have complete control over, is what time you arrive and how prepared you are at that time of arrival and how you feel in your body at the time of arrival. So if you know you're someone who usually runs late, and that's me, I always run late, just put it in your phone, on your calendar or whatever, that you're supposed to be there at 10, and then you'll arrive at 9:55, even if your interview is at 10:15, and you'll have tricked yourself into getting there early and on time. So as you go up to check in, I've already mentioned airport-like security. You're going to go through that. You're going to have to show them your interview notice and your green card or your driver's license or whatever. They will look at both of those things. And if you're bringing an interpreter, they will also need to provide their ID just so that, you know, you can see who this person is. They don't want people coming in who don't need to be there. So if it's like your kids or something like that, they're not going to want your kids to come in. So you need to have those folks stay at home. Sometimes they will let you have like an emotional support person wait in the lobby with you. But many times, especially post-COVID, they're like, no one else can come in. It's just the applicant and their interpreter and the attorney. Sometimes it can be a little tricky. If your loved one, like your wife or your kid, wants to come and be your moral support, just know that they may not be allowed in, and that's okay. They can wait in the car outside. It won't be a long time. After you get through security, then you will go to a check-in desk. It's like just on the other side of security. Again, you'll show them your ID and you'll show them your little paper, and that's when they check you in. You'll see them like highlight your name on this form and they'll type something in their little computer, and that's them checking you in. So now the USCIS officer can see that you've been checked in and can now proceed. If they happen to be early or whatever, they can go ahead and call you and get this party started. If you don't check in and you just go through security, probably no one's going to call your name. So you got to make sure that you get checked in properly. And then you just wait. You wait in the lobby for the officer. A word of caution about, or a word of advice, I guess, about the wait. I have had to wait a very, very long time for officers to call us back. In one interview, this is an extreme, but I'm just sharing with you an extreme. We waited for 6 hours. And after the first hour, we went up and asked, and I said, hey, I'm just checking in. It's been an hour. We've been waiting. No problem, ma'am. Let me check what's going on. And I did this every hour for, you know, for a total of, got to our sixth hour. And then they closed the office. They said, ma'am, you know, like, we're not gonna be able to do your interview today. We're gonna have to do this another day. So that was a real bummer for this client. It wasn't a naturalization interview. It was a different situation. But I just want to let you know that if you've been waiting for an hour or more, you need to go back up to the front desk and talk to the person. Don't be like super polite and just sit there and wait all day long. Go ahead. It's very normal. Just go up and check in with them and say, hey, want to let you know that I've been here waiting. My interview says that it was at 10:15. It's 11:15. I just want to confirm that everything is still a go and that things are still moving forward. They will advise you of whatever it is. 99% of my cases, you wait for about 30 minutes or less in the lobby. USCIS will usually be moving quick, but sometimes the officer got bogged down with the prior interview, or they went on lunch early, forgetting, like, officers are humans too. And sometimes they forget that they had an interview. And so they're on their lunch break and you're sitting here waiting for the interview to start. So one way or the other, just stay in communication with the person at the front desk if things start to feel a little bit long. Okay. All right. At some point, an officer is going to come out, and now is the time for us to really start pretending and walking through what it's going to be like for you in your actual interview. What I will say is that most officers are very nice. It is very rare to get a rude officer, I'm very happy to say. They're all very nice, and they're just trying to get their job done. And they recognize that you're nervous, that this is a big day for you. So it's totally okay for you to even say things like, whew, I'm nervous, and like, I'm excited to get this done. So all of those things, the officer expects for you to feel that way. And it's very normal. They will call your name from the lobby and you'll walk back with them. You'll see them swipe their badge on a couple of different doors for security purposes to bring you back to wherever it is you're going. If you are in a wheelchair or you have a cane or anything like that, no problem. They will be very accommodating to make sure that you're able to get where you need to go. The first thing they're going to have you do is sit down on their desk, and you'll notice, you'll be able to look around on their desk at some point whenever you have a moment to think, and you're going to see their computer, their keyboard, and you'll also see a little video camera. And I want you to know that the whole interview is being videoed, not only audio, but also visual. So everything you say and everything you do, even if the officer walks out of the room, any conversation that you have, either with your interpreter or your lawyer or whoever it might be, all of that is recorded from the minute you walk in to when you leave. So be aware of that. If the officer leaves for some reason, you don't want to be like, wow, this person has really bad breath or whatever. You don't want that on your record, okay? Because it's going to become part of your permanent immigration record, this whole interview. So you'll walk in, the officer will sit down facing you, and you will face them. Sometimes they will still, even though this is, I'm recording this in 2025, sometimes they'll still have a big partition kind of held over from COVID era. And so if you have to slide things under the table or under the partition, that's fine. But the first thing they're going to want to see is they're going to want to look at your ID, your green card, your passport, and your interview notice. They're going to confirm all of those things, and you're going to get those out of your purse or your wallet or whatever. You probably already have had them handy, and that's what you're going to do first. Okay. So they're going to verify ID. If your lawyer is with you, or if your lawyer is on the phone, this is the time that they're going to contact your lawyer. And if they don't ask for you to contact your lawyer, you should, and we are supposed to be on the call with you, this is when you let them know, hey, I'd like for you to call my lawyer. Is that okay? And then they will do that. And that's a requirement for them to do that. So be sure to, you know, kind of insist that this is something really important for you if, in fact, your lawyer has agreed to be on the call with you, okay? The next thing they're going to do is they're going to have you swear to tell the truth, to promise to tell the truth. And just like in court, they'll ask you to stand and to raise your right hand. Now, if you have a translator there with you or an interpreter, they're going to ask the interpreter to get sworn in, and they're going to have the interpreter do the same thing. They will not have your lawyer do that because your lawyer is not testifying. The lawyer might answer some questions, but the lawyer is not testifying. So you will stand, promise to tell the truth under penalty of perjury, and you say, I promise, I swear, I do, whatever it is that you want to say. Yes, I will. All of that is totally fine. And that's when the interview begins. And they start by confirming your name and your, you know, basically your eligibility, that you've been a resident for a certain amount of time. How did you get your residency? That sort of thing. And then they begin. They don't do the N-400 yet, the form itself. Instead, they start with the civics and English test first. So if you are required to, if you know, you don't meet one of the exemption for the English component, first they're going to have you read a sentence out loud, and then they're going to have you write a sentence out loud. Usually it's like related to the sentence you read out loud. So you'll read a sentence that said, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. And that's the sentence that you need to read aloud. And then you need to write the sentence aloud, or write the sentence that they have said to you. And they'll say something like, okay, write the sentence, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. And then you'll write, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, or George Washington was our first president, things like that. They're very straightforward sentences, and spelling and punctuation are the things that they're most looking for. So you'll be just fine. I'm confident that you'll be just fine on those two things. Once you do the reading and the writing, next is the civics test. So you need to answer up to 10 questions, and you just have to get 6 right. So if you get the first 6 right, boom, you move on. You don't have to do the other 4. But if you've got a couple misses here and there, they're going to keep asking you until they get it right. What's important here is that you, even if you know the answer, let them finish the question. Because if you start talking, like saying the answer, they're going to stop. They're going to stop talking, and you won't get to hear all of the options. So my suggestion is let them say the full question, and then let them say all of your options, and then answer, okay? So try not to get eager and jump in there and answer, because you'll have practiced so much, I'm sure, that you just want to get the questions out. But let them go ahead and say A, B, C, D, etc., okay? Once you pass the civics test, you've already passed the English test, now you've passed the civics test, now you can complete the application review process. This is your final, one of your final steps. You go through the N-400 form together. And this is why I really like it for you to have an actual printout of the form itself that's been completed, because they're going to ask you questions and you're welcome to peruse through the application and follow along with the application yourself to the extent that you need to look at it. And at this time, let's just jump over to the N-400 right now so that we can review it together as if we were in the interview. So kind of as a starting point, sir, do you promise under penalty of perjury that you will tell the truth and the whole truth today during your interview? And you'll say, yes, I will. And the officer's going to be standing and holding his or her hand up as well, just like this. So it's a very serious moment. Then you go through the test, the English, the civics, and then now we're going to turn to the N-400 itself. All right, your reason for filing, this is your eligibility. Oftentimes, you'll already have confirmed this portion, but it will be the box that's marked on your application. So you're not going to have to wonder, what's my basis? Our firm will already have done that for you. So if you're a spouse, et cetera, and they'll just confirm that. Really, where we start this interview process is right here, where we're talking through the information about you, your current name, and this is your current legal name. This is the name that's on your driver's license, the name that is truly your legal name, not just a name that you are called by friends or family. It's not a nickname. And then you want to go through, what are the other names I've used since birth? For me, I had my maiden name. Those are important things. And then I've also just used my first, middle, and last name, my married name, but sometimes I just use my first and my last name. So I might have all the combination of all three names listed here, and I want to include that. Next is you have the option of changing your name. So this is a formal legal name change option. So if you are, you know, let's say that you were, you have a married name, but now you're divorced and you don't want your divorced, your married name to be on your application. This is an important time to go ahead and legally change your name and then make sure you put what you actually want your name to be on your N-400, on your certificate of naturalization. It's got to be here, and they're going to confirm it with you at the end before they, because they don't want any misspellings, right? We don't want your name misspelled. And that will be something that's reviewed with you at the very end. And you're going to put your new name here. Now, if you're not changing your name, if your name is John Smith and you're not going to change your name from John Smith, you're just going to, you'll see that the X is marked here and this is blank. Okay. We're going to go through your sex. We're going to go through your date of birth and then the date you became a lawful permanent resident, what country you were born in, and what country you're a citizen or a national of. They're going to ask you if your mom was a U.S. citizen before you turned 18, or if your dad was, I should say. And then if you have any disability that would prevent you from being able to do the civics test. Obviously, we've already done the civics test. And so unless this was marked yes, in the event that this is marked yes, when we submit this for you, we'll also have submitted this form. And the very first thing they do is adjudicate this form in your interview. So in any event, this is really rare, so we're going to keep moving. Next is, do we need to update anything with the Social Security Administration? Again, whatever we have marked on your form is what we're going to go with and all of that good stuff. So this isn't going to be a big deal. We're going to gloss over this. And this whole section will have taken less than 2 minutes during your interview. Next, they're going to confirm your basic biographical information. Again, it's going to be quick. The officer is going to say, you are Hispanic, you are white, you are 5'3", you're 125 pounds, you have brown hair and brown eyes. And then we're going to move forward from there. Okay. And you're going to say, yep, yep, yes, yes, yes. Make sure to give audible responses. Don't be nodding your head or shaking your head. Yes, no. Don't tell stories. Don't, you know, ask questions about whatever. You've already talked to your lawyer about these steps, about what the answers are to these questions here on this form. Just go with those things unless you believe that they are actually incorrect. Like if you have blonde hair naturally and you dye your hair red, you need to put blonde because you're naturally a blonde. You know, if we've mismarked that, this is the time to correct it. Okay. Now we want to know, USCIS wants to confirm your address history for the last 5 years. You know, if you've moved since you applied, this is a time when you may have to add an address, and the USCIS officer will get that information from you. But unless you've moved, you know, since you applied, you're just going to go with what's on this form and you're going to cruise through this as well. Next up, if your mailing address is different than your physical address, they will confirm that as well. But most of the time, your mailing address and your physical address are the same thing. And again, whatever the firm has put there, we've already talked to you about, just go with that. They're going to ask you questions about your marital status, if you're currently married, who you're married to. If you're not currently married, this will all be blank. Next, we have your spouse, more information about your spouse. So again, if you're not currently married, a lot of this is going to be blank. Next up, we're going to talk about your kids. Frankly, I don't know why they need to know all this information. I find it to be a little bit invasive, but nevertheless, we have to play by their rules. They want to know who all your kids are under the age of 18. So at the time that we file, this is your kids under the age of 18. If they have aged out and now they're 18 years old or older, then, you know, you can bring that to the officer's attention so they can remove that from this space. but that's pretty rare that that will happen. That would be a unique situation. And if you have more than three kids, there's a separate section of the form and we'll go through all of those kids there. Next, we talk about your employment. They just like your address history. They want to know your employment for the last 5 years. Same thing here, where if you've changed employers since we applied for you, then you're going to want to let the USCIS officer know that I ended employment at my old job on blank date, and I started at my new job on this other date, and I'm currently working there. And then the officer's going to say, okay, what is the name of it? What is the, what's the address, and what are you doing at that place? Because they're going to want to fill these things out. Next is something that is either going to be very tricky for you or it's going to be super simple for you. There's pretty much no middle ground on this. Either you've traveled a ton or you haven't really traveled at all. And if you're in the haven't really traveled at all, or maybe you take a weekend to Mexico or Canada here or there, you'll put those things down and it's no problem. But sometimes people have a lot of travel history over the last 5 years. And so those will be things that the officer goes through. And the reason they're looking at this is because you have to have been in the United States for a certain period of time leading up to this, to the application, when you filed the application. And so they're not only making sure that you never abandoned your green card by being out of the U.S. for more than 6 months, or they're also just trying to make sure that you remain eligible for your naturalization process. And if you're working with us, then obviously we've made sure that all of your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted, and this will all be good to go. Next up, this is your home stretch. And they're going to ask you almost verbatim every single question on here. So it's really important that you read these and understand them so that you make sure you don't accidentally say the wrong thing. Have you ever claimed to be a U.S. citizen in writing or any other way? Yes or no? No. Have you ever registered to vote? Yes or no? If you lawfully voted, where, you know, sometimes in some situations, non-citizens, and they say aliens here, but non-citizens are actually able to vote in certain elections in the U.S. So yes, you may have registered. Indeed, you may have voted. That's going to be something that you'll have talked to us about beforehand so we can provide the required information to show that you didn't unlawfully vote. Next is we want to make sure that you've got all your taxes are all good to go, just like we talked about earlier. And if you are not current on your taxes, we want to show current payment plan, that you are current on the payment plan with the IRS. Just that you've also been filing your taxes is this next question. Since you became a lawful permanent resident, have you called yourself a non-resident alien, which means you're someone who doesn't live in the United States as a resident, on your taxes because you considered yourself to be a non-resident? Again, we will have talked to you about this beforehand, before we've even filed this, and your answer is, I mean, almost always going to be no. I have, in all my years, never had anybody answer yes to this. Next, we get into some kind of complicated questions or like loaded questions. A word of advice here is don't make jokes. This is not the moment to be joking around or like lighten the mood. I've had clients do that, and it's just, this is not a time for joking. And unfortunately, it's a really serious time. So if you're nervous, mechanism is to get a little bit nervous and try to crack a few jokes. This is not the time to do that. Go back up and make some jokes about your own weight or something like that, but don't be making jokes about this section. Have you ever been a member of, involved in, or any way associated with the Communist or Totalitarian Party anywhere in the world? Have you ever advocated, supported, or promoted any of the following things? Opposition to an organized government, world communism, the establishment in the United States of totalitarian dictatorship, the overthrow of anything related to the government, the unlawful assaulting or killing of officers of the government or anyone else, and the unlawful damage, injury, or destruction of any property, or sabotage of, you know, and really we're thinking of groups that may be trying to sabotage things like election results or stuff like that. Okay. So those answers will be no in 99% of my cases. And of course, if you had to answer yes, then you've already worked with your lawyer at New Frontier to know exactly how to answer those things. Next, again, these are really important. Sometimes I have ex-military members, former military members of foreign countries applying. And so, you know, these are important things to talk to us about, but they're going to ask you about them here and you're going to already be coached on how to explain them. If you're watching this in advance of your one-to-one in preparation for your interview and you see any yeses marked on your form, on your N-400, this is a great time in that follow-up phone call to go over any questions you have, such as how to answer anything that's marked yes. So they're going to ask, have you ever used a weapon with intent to harm another person or property, engaged in kidnapping, assassination, hijacking, or sabotage of an airplane, ship, vehicle, or other mode of transportation? Most people are going to say no, right? Have you ever threatened or attempted, planned with others, conspired, prepared, planned, advocated for, incited anyone else to do any either of these things, like blow up somebody, a human or a property? Like, no, everyone's going to say no. Wait for the officer to ask the full question before you answer, though. So, like, I know you're going to be like, nope, 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 none of these things apply to me. Just be patient. Got to wait for him or her to ask the whole question, and then you can say no. Similarly, they're going to ask, have you ever done any of the following? All of these things. So please read through them, because the officer is going to go one by one and you can kind of in your mind know where you're at. When you start getting into genocide and preventing people from practicing their religion and harming others and those sorts of things, you know that you're almost there. So you're super, super close. If you've ever said yes in terms of criminal stuff, they're going to want you to fill out a separate section. We will have helped you with that already. So if you have any criminal history, this is the time where we're going to disclose that. My philosophy is we disclose everything because we want you to be squeaky clean and never have to worry about a material misrepresentation that could get your naturalization taken away. So we are going to make sure you're squeaky clean so that when you naturalize, you're good to go and you never have to look over your shoulder. But this is going to be the point in your interview where they're going to ask you about your criminal history, arrests, anytime you were detained. Keep the facts simple. Don't over-explain, but don't be dodgy either. Like, this is not the time to be like somewhat shady about what you're explaining to the officer. They're going to ask you all sorts of things about your sex life. And it's going to be things like, have you ever engaged in prostitution? Have you ever tried to have more than one wife or more than one husband, practicing polygamy? Do you intend to do that while you are here? And those sorts of things. They're going to ask you about any vices you have, like, do you gamble and that sort of thing? Have you ever helped anyone come into the United States illegally? This is an important one because sometimes people have helped bring their children into the United States illegally, and you may even have gotten a waiver for it already. And those are things that you want to talk to us about, of course. Have you ever made any misrepresentations? Have you ever failed to pay your alimony to your spouse or child support for your kids? If this is an issue, it's going to come out now, okay? And have you ever lied to get into the U.S. and those sorts of things? Next is all of your removal and immigration history. So if you've ever been in removal proceedings, if you've ever been deported, obviously, if you've already got your green card, you've likely, I sure hope, already disclosed all of these things. So we simply need to repeat them and kind of explain them again. And your attorney here at the firm is going to have walked through this with you when you were filling out the application and reviewed it very carefully. And then we will prep you again, very specific to these types of questions, if you mark yes on anything. All right. For men, you'll want to make sure that if you were here and you were required to sign up for the draft, then you know that you did that. And if not, you need to again make sure you talk to us about it. You already have done that by the time we get here, but we just want to make sure that everybody's all square on this. They'll ask about your military service. Have you ever been a deserter where you take off and go hide in another country to avoid going to war? A lot of these things are going to be no's, right? I mean, it's going to be a lot of no. But when you finally get to the part about the Oath of Allegiance, just know in your mind, you are so close to being all done. You're almost there. All of these, you're going to switch from no's to yeses. So this is an important one where you really want to listen to the question, because you'll have been saying no for like 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden you're going to switch to all yeses. And this is that moment where they'll ask you, do you support the Constitution and the form of government in the United States? Yes. Do you understand the full Oath of Allegiance to the United States? Yes. And sometimes they'll ask this to people who are 80 years old and in a wheelchair. If you had to take up arms to protect and defend the United States, would you do so? Yes, right? Like, we have to say yes to these things. If you had to work, like, somehow to help protect the United States, if it were under attack, national importance, non-military work, would you do so? Yes. This is your moment to be all in for the United States, right? And then they're going to ask you if you've asked for a fee waiver. This will be where they discuss those things. We don't really do a lot of those in our firm, so it's rare for us to have that. But if you happen to have it, that's something we will have filled out for you. And then it's time for you to sign it, right? So your information's here. You've already signed this. They're just going to confirm everything. Your interpreter, whoever helped you fill this out, if you needed help getting it filled out, this will already be filled out. Doesn't necessarily mean that's the same interpreter who's there with you that day. And this is the lawyer's information here on page 12. And this is the overflow page, where if you had any additional information, that's where that would go. Then we finally get to the last page. And this is where you will sign this digitally on a little, it looks a little bit like a credit card machine, where it's just a little machine that has, like when you go to the bank or, you know, at the grocery store, they'll have a little, I think it's called a stylus. It's like a little pen that's connected to a little, looks like credit card type machine, and you will sign your name. And that's after you've reviewed the whole application with them, and you'll review the spelling of your name that's going to be on your naturalization certificate. Whether you're changing your name or not, they're going to make sure that that you're seeing that it looks correct, and you'll sign saying that it looks correct. And then when it's time, at your Oath of Allegiance ceremony, you will take the Oath of Allegiance at that ceremony, and then you will sign this once you're there getting sworn in. You will not sign the Oath of Allegiance portion on this day of your interview. That will be later on, okay? Now, a couple of things to keep in mind after your interview. So you've completed your interview, you've reviewed everything, you did great on your civics and you did great on the English. Everything's gone perfectly. The officer will tell you, sometimes they'll say, I have to have a supervisor review this. That's going to make your heart drop and you're going to think, crap, what's wrong? Like, am I not going to get approved? Don't worry if they say that, because it is a policy of USCIS. If the officer has been with USCIS for under a certain amount of time, they have to have a supervisor look over every single application. And you're not going to be able to ask them, like, hey, have you just been here for a short amount of time? You can't ask them that. Sometimes they will disclose that, but we can't ask them. So if that's what they say, just keep in the back of your mind that that's totally fine. They're probably just brand new and need to have their supervisor look this over, because they're not allowed to just approve it on the spot. Now, if something's wrong or something is missing, they will straight up tell you right then, sir, ma'am, I need to see your most recent tax return. Or, sir, ma'am, it looks like you have this criminal conviction and I want to see the final disposition of it. Even though it was longer than 5 years ago, I still want to see the final disposition of it. So I'm going to issue you a request for evidence. They'll usually tell you right then if they just need more information. And again, that's no problem. We will handle it. And that's how these things go. It will be okay. Very, very rarely will they deny you on the spot, because they will usually just ask for more information. They will usually ask for more evidence before they will deny you on the spot. Okay. Although it is possible for them to deny you on the spot, it's really rare for that to happen. So if you get approved on the spot, they will ask you to go back out to the lobby and wait. Sometimes someone will bring you a document that tells you when and where to go for your naturalization swearing in, your oath ceremony, which is like the final step in this process. Sometimes, however, depending on the USCIS office that you're at, they'll just tell you to watch the mail, that they're going to mail you this information. And then the third option is sometimes they have naturalization ceremonies, like oath ceremonies, later that same day. This is really cool of USCIS, but it does kind of take away the magic of it all. But what will happen is sometimes, specifically here in Phoenix, they will have a whole bunch of naturalization interviews in the morning, and then they will end those around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They'll let everybody know, come back at 2:30 for your oath ceremony. And then they swear you in and you're good to go and you're a citizen that same day. And you get like a lunch break and you come back. But that varies. That is not going to be the same at every single office. So the norm is that you'll get a letter in the mail telling you when and where to go. And most of the time they're at a federal courthouse and it is a beautiful ceremony and you can bring friends or family members, and they can attend with you and just really celebrate you, because that oath ceremony is your final step. A word of caution before we close out today. Do not, under any circumstances, commit any crimes after your naturalization interview and before your oath ceremony. I've had clients go out and get a DUI. I've had clients go out and they are so excited and they're celebrating or whatever it might be that they're about to become a U.S. citizen and get caught with drugs or something like that because they're at a party. All sorts of things can happen and it sucks. So don't be that person. Just be squeaky clean. You got a few more, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of weeks before your oath ceremony, but you're not a citizen until that oath ceremony and until you sign this document, your oath of allegiance, until that's signed and everything else, and you've made that promise, you are not a U.S. citizen. So please act accordingly. Use all of your best judgment and go from there. So I hope this is helpful and we get you all prepped for the next steps. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. My friend, I'm so glad you joined me today. If you have a friend or family member who may need some immigration law guidance or even just day-to-day encouragement, please send them a text or email or a DM on social media and say, hey, I think this podcast is going to help you. I sure wish someone had given me the tips I'm sharing here years and years ago when I was starting out as an immigration lawyer. Thank you so much for being here. I'll see you next week, same time, same place. Adios.